Reformed Church.
A couple weeks ago, I was talking about giving, and I'm not going to go through quite as much preliminary stuff explaining my motivation for sharing it and all that kind of stuff. I spent quite a lot of time trying to explain my motivation for sharing this particular thing about giving, so I'll just defer you to that particular teaching called How Much Should I Give? For all things regarding my motivation in sharing this. But so I'll just kind of continue from there. But I had basically told you guys a few things, just teaching you about giving, and because we don't teach this, you know, sort of mandated percentage from God, especially in order to be blessed, because we don't teach that at this church, I think that, at least in my mind, it's like you think, okay, well, there's not like a mandated percentage, but just like anything in our life is not mandated by God anymore. Paul said, all things are lawful to me, right? Because the only law now that we have from the Lord is the law of faith, right? And to believe in Jesus. So nothing is actually mandated to us, but we know, right, that despite the fact that those things are not mandated, we know that we've been given all things that pertain to godliness, and there is such a thing as godliness, and there is such a thing as a right and a wrong way to do anything, right? I mean, like, any interaction you have in your life, there's a right and a wrong way to do it, and there's no exception with giving. Just because giving is not the mandated thing that we do to get blessed by God, there's still a right and a wrong way to give. Same way you're not blessed by honoring your father and mother, there's still a right and a wrong way to treat your father and mother, right? You know what I'm saying? It's the exact same thing as with anything in life. So the right and wrong way to give is really what I was going over last time. Because there is such a way to give. So I don't want to take the time to rehash that. I would really encourage you to listen to it again. But what I did tell you is that in regard to generosity, I said, you know, that it may sound overly practical, but if someone is interested in being generous, and I mean interested, a lot of people aren't interested in that, and I'm not talking about people here, but I'm just saying a lot of people aren't interested in being generous, and so you kind of have to say that. But if someone is actually interested in saying, you know, I want to glorify God with my money, I want to, the Bible said that we've been called to a heavenly calling. I think it's Hebrews chapter 3 says we've been called to a heavenly calling. That means we have a higher calling in our life as far as what we're seeking after and what we're working in. The Bible also says in Romans 6 that that we should use our members as instruments of righteousness. And so we, our bodies, what we do in life has a higher calling. The way we use our bodies, and therefore the way we use our material things, should be used as instruments of righteousness. And you can see your money as just money, and you kind of spend it mindlessly during the month, and then also give mindlessly. A lot of people, that's the way they give. They sort of they give the way that they spend their money through the month. I'm not even saying that a lot of these very people that would give mindlessly, and I've been there myself, that you're intentionally trying to misuse your money, but you kind of spend money as you see something to buy. You spend it, you don't keep track of where it's going, and then you give the same way. You kind of look at the end of the month or at whatever point, and you say, well, I'm going to give this much, like kind of whatever I feel like. It's not deliberate, and it's not organized. It's just sort of mindless. But that really, that is not, I don't believe that that is the way to use your money as instruments of righteousness, the way that we use our members, right? The way we use anything in our life. I don't believe that that is an effective way of using your money for your priorities. Let me just give you an example. If Pastor Jose didn't know what was going on in this church, he couldn't run this church, right? Same way with any of our departments. If you don't know what's going on in the department, you can't run a department. In fact, you couldn't tell me I'm running my department well and everything is working well unless you knew what was going on in your department, right? Same thing goes for anything in life. If you don't know what your family's going through, how can you run a family correctly if you don't know where they're at and what they're going through and what their needs are? Same thing with your money. You cannot say that you're actually prioritizing your money the way that you want to unless you know where your money's going. And that's why what I said was, it's not that, I mentioned budgeting. And it's not about the budgeting itself, like, okay, like where is that in the Bible? No, it's just a simple practical advice of saying, how can you know whether you're running something correctly unless you know where it's going and you know what's going on in that area? If you don't budget, most people, even people that aren't out to spend money frivolously and stuff, most people spend their money mindlessly. And again, I've been there myself, so I'm not saying this as if, you know, I haven't been there myself. You would be shocked if you start budgeting, and at the very least, I recommend you budget. I don't believe you can know where your money is going unless you know where your money's going. But even if you were just to take your bank statement and look at what's been spent over the past, say, 2 months, right? Trust me, again, I have been there. you would be shocked at, wow, you say, oh, I don't really spend much money, or I don't spend money on really anything. And then you look and you realize, oh, I didn't realize I spent money on that and that, or I didn't realize my money was going here, or for that matter, sometimes I didn't realize I was subscribed to that streaming service, whatever it is. If you don't know where your money is going, how can you know it's being run well? You can't. That goes with anything in life. Without the knowledge of it, you don't know if it's being run well. And so that's why I was recommending that you, in fact, I challenged you. This is what I told you. I just said, write your priorities down on a list from your top financial priority to your, you know, lowest financial priority, or at the very least, give your top 10 or your top 5 or something, right? Name your financial priorities and write them down. And then, because those are your priorities in your mind, make sure, go through, and budget was my advice. The first step to budgeting, obviously, would be go into your bank statement and see actually what's being spent on what and what's necessary and what's not. So you got to do that. But when you do that, look at what you spend money on, look at where your money needs to go, and then sometimes where it doesn't need to go and how it's being spent, and compare that to your priorities. I really challenge you to do that. And because I challenged you to do that, I did that myself, even though I've always had a mental understanding of where my priorities were. I went through and I said, you know, if I challenge everybody else to do it, then I'm going to do it myself. And so I just kind of re-looked at my finances. I re-looked at my priorities. I made a list of what my financial priorities are. So I just want to read those to you very quickly. Again, you just simply cannot know if something's being run well if you are an overseer over a thing unless you actually see what you're overseeing. You have to know what's going on in anything that's entrusted to you. My first priority for financial giving would be my household. Now, currently, obviously, I don't have my own immediate family, like sort of, you know, from my own to take care of. But there is some application to that just in my immediate family, even though I'm not sort of like a head of a household or anything right now. There's application to me there in my sort of immediate family. But then there's also just a simple fact that I know that is, even when I have my own family, that's going to be my top priority. And my verse for that is 1 Timothy 5:8. You can just throw it up there very quickly, but it's New King James Version. It just says that if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. This says that someone is acting worse than an unbeliever if they don't take care of their own household. And the reason for that is because the Bible said that even Gentiles, even the unsaved, can love their own. Think about that for a second. If the Gentiles, someone, you don't need Jesus to love your family. You don't need Jesus to love those who love you. You don't need Jesus to love your own. And so he's saying for a believer to not take care of his own household or not support his own household is actually acting worse than an unbeliever, because an unbeliever could show a Christian up in that area if that were the case. So therefore, that is my top priority. And specifically, what gives it that top priority is everybody knows they should take care of their household for the most part. But the reason why I put it as my top priority, even before giving at church, is because 1 Timothy 3:5 says that if a man does not know how to rule his own house, obviously first, how will he take care of the church of God? So that shows the priority right there, that you need to take care of your household before even the church of God. So that's a verse that shows the priority list right there. So I'm deriving my priority list from Scripture, right? Household first. Now, just so you know, in my mind, and I think in just propriety in general, taking care of my household is not my Netflix subscription. It's not putting a pool in the backyard. That is not included in my top priority. None of that is wrong. I'm sure I'll do all that with my family, and we'll go on vacations, and we'll do all those. None of that is wrong. In fact, I think it's right to treat your family when it's financially wise to do so. And if it's not financially wise to do so, then build a pillow fort in the living room and do something inexpensive and get creative. You don't need money to treat your family. Okay, so that's another thing as well. You don't need to go on things you can't afford to treat your family. But those things are not included in this take care of my household top priority, because that's not taking care of the necessities of my household. That is just, that would be lower on the totem pole for me, okay? Those things, which are perfectly fine to do, but they don't take that first place priority, okay? As far as sort of just the frivolous stuff that isn't necessarily taking care of my household, okay? So that's one thing. And you just saw the verses I gave before that. My second priority after my household is the church that I received the gospel from. This is the part where, again, I could go through 10 minutes of just explaining my motivations, but I'm going to, again, defer you to last message on this for all of that, just because it is hard sometimes to teach this at church. Nevertheless, this is where I get that. Romans 15, 27 just simply says that when someone preaches the gospel and if we are partaker of someone's spiritual things, referring to the gospel, referring to the word of God, that it's our duty also to minister to them in material things. This is not about this church. It's just about where I receive the gospel. If someone sows spiritual things in my heart, it is actually, he describes it as a duty, actually, a responsibility to make sure that that is repaid. The example I gave last week was that, you know what, and I'm going to actually say it even a little clearer. If you don't know what to give, right, my recommendation would be just give 10%. Start there and then go from there. That would be my recommendation. The reason why is because, as I said last week, the tithe is not a new covenant principle. It's not a new covenant principle. But that is the designated amount that God asked the people of Israel to give to those that ministered to them and didn't get a paycheck and made it their full-time job to minister to Israel. So I see that. That's how I'm going to train my kids, is to give 10% and to save also. That's how I think that you should train your kids as well. Give 10% where you receive the gospel and save whatever amount you want them to save. So that is my, if you don't know, hey, start at 10%. See where the Lord leads you from there, right? So personally, I give way more than 10% at this church. And part of that is because my first priority of my household, I don't have to have as much money going to that, which enables me to give far more to my second priority, which is where I receive the gospel, okay? If I had a household, though, this would still be, again, second priority. Also, in particular, where I receive the gospel, the reason why, well, let me actually just share one more priority, and then I'll give some context. My third priority would be my church family. Any need that I see that arises in my church family, that may not always be a consistent thing. Maybe there is a way to consistently support a particular person that is genuinely in need, that genuinely cannot make sufficient money, that would be my third priority. People in my church family that meet biblical criteria for me to give to those needs as I see them, okay? That would be my third priority. The reason why I even put that after the gospel is for this reason. On one hand, if there was a particular rare need that was dire enough and that was urgent enough that I had to give to that, I could sort of mix those two together, giving to the gospel and that if it were a rare occasion. I could certainly prioritize that on a particular month or something. But the reason why I put the gospel ahead of even giving to my church family is for this reason. If I give money, I'm going to say this quickly, this deserves a lot more explanation, but if I were to give to my church family, I'm giving them money to support them. Sometimes they don't need money, sometimes they may need something else. But if I give money to my church family, I'm sort of, as the saying goes, I'm giving them a fish. But if I give toward the gospel, I'm teaching them how to fish. Okay? What I mean is, if I just give someone straight money, I'm giving them the maybe particular material thing that they need out of my own resources. But if I support the gospel and teach them the gospel, I'll teach them how to sort of harvest their own resources. I'll teach them how to receive from God for themselves financially. So that's the giving someone a fish versus teaching them how to fish kind of concept. The gospel is teaching that enables people to be independently wealthy versus us using our wealth for somebody else, which is obviously always preferable. It's better for someone to be independently wealthy because they understand the gospel than it is for you to have to support a need because they have a need to begin with. Okay, so that's the difference between, that's why I prioritize the gospel higher than even giving to the individual needs of my church family in here. And then after that, Galatians 6:10 is where I get the fact that giving to my church family, even before giving to someone outside the church, there's precedent for that. And that's Galatians 6:10, and I'll pretty much stop right here. But it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, and that is important, as we have opportunity, not everybody that is poor necessarily is in need. Not everybody that doesn't have money is actually biblically poor, for that matter. Okay, or meets biblical criteria. You have to really make sure that someone is not suffering poverty or in financial straits because of decisions that they are currently making. Sometimes people actually need financial advice more than they need your money. Sometimes. I'm not saying all the time. I'm just saying sometimes that's the case, okay? A lot of people don't know how to use their money correctly. This was evident from the Power to Wealth thing that even like most people that win the lotto spend it all in just a matter of a couple years. That shows me that that's not a financial problem, for instance, right? You come into a lot of money and it just gets spent because your poverty from the to begin with wasn't a money problem, it was a spending problem, or it was a not being organized problem. So anyway, that's aside, but Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, not everybody is an opportunity, but some people are, many people are. Let us do good to all. That means everybody, not just the church, but everybody. Let's do good to everybody. Not just financially, but let's do good to everybody, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Especially means higher priority, right? And so that's where I get the fact that I would support my church family before. If there's a need in my church family and a need in the world, I would support my church family first. That's what especially means. It's showing, and that's where I'm getting my priorities, in that I would support my church family before I would support someone in the world. Okay? So I would support my household first. I would support the gospel, because again, you need to take care of your household before you take care of the church of God. That's where that comes from. In giving to the gospel, again, I don't know what to give to the gospel. We'll start with 10% then. That 10% of what? 10% of the money that I make. How frequently should I give to the gospel? How frequently should I give any in general when I'm prospered? Which to me means as I increase in some amount, then I give out of that increase and I allow the places that I give to also increase. That's proper giving. It's not a law. It's not a rule. Just like honoring your father is not a rule in the New Testament, but it's still just right giving, right? That's how you do it. And just, again, one clarification in closing. Again, 10% is not necessarily the right amount. I'd love to give more than 10% for until Jesus comes back, right? But that is just my, if you don't know what to give, that's my little, you know, throw it out there, not a rule, not a mandate percentage, okay, at all. And then, again, giving to my church family, coming before giving to someone in the world because of that especially word, especially to those who are of the household of faith, okay? Again, I just believe, and I know that we believe that here as well, but I'm speaking for everyone online as well. I just believe that I have a higher calling in this world than to just spend money mindlessly. I don't live my life mindlessly. I live my life deliberately. In my mind, with, you know, sort of like Paul said, not as punching the air. I know what I'm fighting against. I know what my goals are in life. And we need to also, if you want to use your members, your body as instruments of righteousness, a lot of that really can be remedied by knowing what your priorities are and then seeing where your money is going to make sure that it reflects those priorities. It doesn't necessarily mean that any of this is a dollar amount. None of this is necessarily a dollar amount. It's just when you make priorities, like my priority list, which if I were to suggest something to you, I don't see how that's not a good priority list for everybody, but you're going to have to judge that for yourself to maybe some extent, but I did give you verses for a lot of it. So there's definitely, for the most part, soundness to what I just told you, but if that's your same priority list, it's just a matter of looking at your finances. It's not a dollar amount. There's no particular dollar amount. It's just saying, if these are really my priorities, does my spending look like my priorities? Does my bank statement appear to me like these things are being prioritized? In whatever fashion you prioritize your finances, that's the way that you do it. Because you can't know whether things are being run in a righteous manner unless you know how they're being run, right? And I just would not recommend spending money mindlessly or giving mindlessly.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.